you and I, we can do something about our country, about our track. Now, yes, we might be relying on government, but there are a lot of things that government cannot do. And there are a lot of things we can do despite of government. Hello mga ka-RFF, ito po muli si Rex Mendoza ng Ramper Financials. Medyo kakaiba po ang topic na inihanda ko para sa inyo ngayon. It's not going to be about markets, it's not an update about how our investments are doing, it's not even going to be about our financial journey, the discipline and the accountability which I always discuss, yung mga behavioral requirements for us to succeed in our investing. Ito po, kakaiba dahil I wanted to share this perspective with you. I really felt after a conversation with an international fund manager, hindi lang po simpleng international fund manager. He's actually the global head for investments in a major Swiss bank. So medyo malaki po ang controlled na assets under management. Marami pong investment portfolios, not just in Asia and in Europe, but all around the world. So iba po ang kanyang perspective. Napakalawak ng kanyang pananaw. And basically, when we had this conversation, I learned a lot from him. At gusto ko pong i-share ang mga ito sa inyo kasi napaka-importante pong mga insights. Hindi po ba napakaganda na merong different angle from someone really at the global stage looking into the country. Kasi po, napag-usapan namin yung concerns and issues ng isang global fund manager sa ating bansa, sa Pilipinas. Ano ang kanilang tinitingnan? Saan sila worried? And ang sinasabi niya, pag ma-solve at magawa ng paraan ng iba dito, hindi naman niya sinasabing kailangan ma-resolve lahat, abay sigurado pong lilipad daw tayo. Dahil sa kanyang pananaw, matindi ang ating mga fundamentals, including, I think na-mention ko na in the past, a real golden demographic window that we can take advantage of our young population. You know, our strong domestic market. Ang dami po eh. Overseas workers, remittances, BPOs, tourism. Ang dami po niyang sinabi. Sobrang daming positive. Pero I really took note of the concerns and issues na shinare niya sa akin. Kasi yun nga eh, kung masosolve lang ang mga ito or kahit papano, maibsan man lamang, abay sigurado daw po, lilipad tayo. So ano itong mga concerns niya? Number one is economic inequality. Ang tingin niya daw sa Pilipinas, sobrang laking gap ng mayayaman at ng mahihirap. Alam nyo, in any given society daw po, pag nagtagal ang mga ganyang realities, hindi po malawong isipin na pwedeng magkaroon ng social unrest. And I think we all realize that in terms of our militant labor, di po ba nagkaroon tayo ng malalaking problema when militant labor actually went on, you know, successive strikes, ang dami nilang inistorbong mga kumpanya, until ang marami doon, umalis na lang at hindi na babalik sa Pilipinas. So sabi niya, sa ngayon, we are in a much better place dahil ang poverty incidence naman po, umaba daw, pero malayo pa rin ang gap. At sana, itong gap na to, hindi na lumaki, kundi dapat magkaroon tayo ng measures for inclusivity. At sabi ko nga sa kanya, ang feeling ko, siyempre, ang Ramper nakakatulong din naman because we want to make people investors. We want to make people spend less than what they earn. And if they become investors and they have investment assets, they will be on the pathway to better inclusivity. Kasi, di ba, tingnan po natin ang merkado, tumaas ang real estate, tumaas ang presyo ng mga kung ano-anong assets. Eh pag mahirap po at walang asset at nagtaasan ng presyo, wala siyang pinangahawakan. ang hinihintay niya ay sweldo na nababawasan ng value. So definitely, economic inequality is something we will have to address. At sa amin naman po, ang sabi ko nga sa Ramper Financials, our thrust and goal is to help the masses get into a level of affluence that can help them be wealthy and abundant in their own terms. Second, ang isa pong problema ang sabi niya would be ownership restrictions. Hindi lang daw simpleng ownership restrictions. Ang medyo issue niya ay yung pabago-bago. Una, sasabihin daw, pwedeng 60-40, tapos biglang magiging 40-60, tapos biglang magugulat na lang ang marami na bawal pala magkaroon ng kahit katiting na foreign investment. So medyo magulo daw. The clarity isn't there, and alam naman nila that we are also moving. Hopefully, ang ating mga mambabatas magawa ng paraan yan para maging bukas naman tayo sa talagang vital at huge amounts of foreign investments to help the local economy. Now, syempre, alam ko medyo kabado ang mga ibang nationalists dyan. So, in a sense, I would say, siguro, ilatag natin kung anong talagang pwedeng bawal at klaruhin natin kung saan sila talaga pwedeng papasukin. Again, his point was, there has to be clarity. Because if the policies change from time to time, people are not well guided. In fact, ang pinakaayaw nila sa lahat, yung midstream, kung kailan dumadating na ang investments, saka magbabago ang policy. Which leads me to the third. The third issue that he raised is bureaucracy and red tape. Sabi niya, in a given bureaucracy at merong matinding levels ng red tape, nasisira daw yung operations ng business. Because quite frankly, foreign investors, foreign institutions, they're into long-range planning. Napakahirap daw po nung nagplano ka ng long-range pero yung ininvestan mo na lugar or merkado ay papalit-palit ng policy. At pag nangyari yan, sabi, nasisira daw at nadidiskaril yung kanilang takbo. So they'd rather focus their investments on economies where there would be a higher level of predictability, hindi yung pabago-bago ng policy. Kasi alam nyo, ang malaking bagay dito are issues that can impact results for certain companies and institutions like tax rates, for example. Yung clarity ng tax rates at pabago-bago ng tax rate, syempre, nakakasira din sa projections of earnings of given companies who will have to repatriate dividends or even make them stay in the Philippines to be able to be invested here. So, syempre, nadi-discourage ang kanilang investment plans. So, makakabuti sa kanila na makapaglagak ng investments doon sa hindi masyadong turbulent ang policy making at mga batas at regulations para yung tinasabing ease of doing business ay talagang nasa mataas na antas. Kasi kung ikaw nga naman ay mahihirapan, abe, talagang ibig sabihin nito, sobrang may headwinds, di ba? Hindi ka na nga siguradong kikita ka, mapapahirapan ka pa, eh ikaw na nga itong nagpapasok ng pera. So sabi niya, we will have to do something about this regulatory bureaucracy and red tape para hindi daw nakakalito para sa mga negosyante. Ang apat, talagang mabigat daw pala yung ating infrastructure deficit. Part of an investor's foray into a given economy is how fluid that economy can grow. So sa atin talaga, ang tingin nila, stumbling block talaga itong infrastructure. Yung kawalan natin ng efficient transport systems. We have very congested roads at talaga namang legendary na yung ating traffic. Tapos, kulang tayo sa mga airports, kulang tayo sa mga tulay, and we are an archipelago. So talagang nakakadiskaril daw ito sa pagpasok ng investments at even pag-i-expand ng mga investors na talagang nandito na for a long time. So we will really have to manage this infrastructure. Kumbaga po sa ano, siya daw yung ceiling na pumipigil sa ating growth. Nandiyan na, pero hindi makaalpas dahil nga may pagkukulang tayo sa ating infrastructure. Sabi niya, talagang issue ang ating infrastructure platform kasi hindi lang naman traffic, pati daw power. Kulang tayo ng power generation. At dahil dyan, syempre, pricing. Syempre, mahal yung power. Tapos, ang hirap ng umikot dahil nga supply chains mo are challenged, napapamahal din yung pag-transport ng goods and services all around the country, which adds to a concern that eventually lowers profitability. Number five is corruption. Alam naman natin yan through time immemorial. Let us not be hypocrites. Hindi lang yan dito sa current administration o sa nagdaang administration. It has been there for a long, long time. Siyempre, sabi nga natin, paiba-iba lang ang magnitude, pero nandyan yan. Para po sa isang negosyante, kakaiba yung perspective. So for this global fund manager, he's saying that corruption actually kills the very nature and foundation of the business. Bakit? Eh baka mamaya it can lead to unfair competition. Siyempre, kung ang makakatapat mo sa merkado, abe, kakampi ng administrasyon. Eh paano yan? Siyempre, baka mapahirapan ka at madaliin ang buhay nila. To the point that unfair competition now puts you at a major disadvantage. And if you're a foreign investor, mas wala kay problema mo. Hindi ka na taga rito, baka wala ka pang kakampi in government. This kind of changes the overall investment climate. So, sasabihin natin, ebe talaga naman sa ibang bansa, may corruption din. Pero, again, it's the predictability of that corruption because siguro hindi sila ganun ka-turbulent in terms of palipat-lipat yung seats of power. Eh, yun ang isang problema natin dito sa ating bansa. And that leads me to number six, which is political instability. Eh minsan po talaga namang hindi talaga constant dahil nga multi-party system pa tayo. Tapos paiba-iba ang Pilipino ng sinusuportahang mga administrasyon. And I'm not just talking about the national level, even sa local level. Sila po, nakatingin din sila dyan dahil syempre, sometimes the investments go to the countryside. So if there is going to be political instability at sabi nga natin, kahit may coup or walang coup, minsan yung bang bickering lang, o alam nyo ha, lately may nangyaring ganyan, di ba? May konting bickering dyan. Yan po, nagbibigay ng concern at takot sa foreign investors. Kaya kailangan sana if we can muster enough reform to be able to take politics to a higher level kung saan ang ating mga politiko ay talagang may mga tinitindigang pananaw, abe, baka daw mas predictable at mas magiging kaaya-aya tayo to foreign investors. Lastly, in terms of labor, ang sabi niya, meron din tayong skills mismatch. Ang skills ng ating mga manggagawa, hindi angkop o hindi nagmamatch dun sa pangangailangan ng labor market. Para daw pong hindi nag-uusap ang ating education side business side. Kasi ako, tandang-tanda ko to eh. I was in Singapore once, nakita ko biglang ang laki nung binigay ng Singapore government na incentives for the universities to get asset management into their curriculum. Asset management po. Yung pala, ang plano ng Singapore is to be the asset and wealth manager not just of Asia but of the world. But at that time, lamang pa sa kanila ang Hong Kong. So anong ginawa nila? Sa universidad pa lang, meron ng incentives, meron ng ayuda ang gobyerno, meron ng tulong. So policy matches skill and talent para paglabas, yun ang overall economic strategy. Yun ang overall business strategy. Sa atin yata, parang walang connection yung education at yung negosyo. So much so na ang natcha-churn natin na talent, hindi naman yung kailangan natin sa ating industry. So nasasayang. Unang-una, hindi nagagamit ng ating mga empleyado yung kanilang pinag-aralan, which is sayang naman. Or number two, they don't become competitive because they get a job where they are not actually good at. So there has to be policy again that resolves mismatches in skill and labor talent necessity. Alam niyo po, ang ganda ng conversation, and that's the reason why I wanted to share that with you. Naintindihan ko po kung bakit ganun ang pananaw nila sa Pilipinas at wala naman siyang sinabing hindi totoo. Very objective po ang aming conversation. I'd really want to share that with you as well because you and I, we can do something about our country, about our track. Now, yes, we might be relying on government, but there are a lot of things that government cannot do. And there are a lot of things we can do despite of government. So, pag tayo po ay magtulong-tulong, ma-resolve natin ang iba dito, kahit papano, makakapag-push tayo ng growth for the Philippine economy and for foreign investments to pour into the country, which will definitely help our growth and progress. Again, ito pong muli, si Rex Mendoza from Rapper Financials, wishing you the very best in your investment journey. Maraming salamat.